If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Today we're going to be just kind of looking at Mary and what Mary's calling and her role was with the birth of Jesus. So once you get to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the life of Mary. And we are so thankful, dear God, that she was humble and obedient in every way to carry out your will. And Father, my prayer today is that every single one of us will be like Mary, that we will be humble and obedient to whatever your will is for our life and for this church. And we ask, God, that you will guide us, that you will empower us, that, God, you will make us the witnesses that you've called us to be. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the ancient days, the word calling was of a great significance. In those days, the word was used to refer to the act of being summoned by the king. Likewise, God also has called or summoned us to his presence. In fact, the Greek word for church, which is ekklesia, means called out from the world and to God. Now today I'm going to look at 3 points from the passage I read about the angel's visit to Mary. And I want to point something out real quick. What I just read to you about the word ekklesia being called out. Many years ago, our church youth group at Third Baptist Church in Marion, our youth group was called ekklesia. And I can remember a bunch of young junior high and high school and some early age college students being a part of that group, how we had a ministry every year that our church group would go out and we would minister to different places that God sent us to go to. And there were many aspects of ministry that our church had. We had puppet ministry. We had drama. We had a praise band that they would carry their instruments and go. And then we had the youth choir. And I can surely remember this, and I'll remember it till my dying day, that there were so many times that the places we went to go witness and minister to, we were humbled, we were obedient before God, and we always prayed before every service that we went into, and we would always see God move in mighty ways, not only in the lives of our youth group, but in the lives of the people. I won't say that we were trying to entertain, but the ones that we were ministering to. We saw people get saved, and we saw people's lives transformed and turned around. And it's so great to know that God has called every single one of us as Christian people, just as He did Mary. Now, God approached Mary, and Mary lived in a despised country known as Israel. He also chose an area that was not really known much about, of Galilee. And then He chose the village of Nazareth. Now, God didn't go after somebody in the most well-known area who is the most popular. God went to just an ordinary place, and He picked an ordinary person. How many of you have ever thought that God uses people only that are well-known or that come from a good family, or maybe they've got a history in gospel music, or maybe they're the child or grandchild of a preacher? How many of you have ever thought to yourself, well, that's kind of the people God deals with? I used to. I mean, watching the people on TV, the ministries, Jimmy Swaggart, I used to think that Jimmy Swaggart was the only one that God ever used, because I would always see him on TV preaching, or Rex Humbard, or whoever it may be. But God went to an unknown area, and when He got there, He didn't pick out some famous rich girl who was well known by her community, but He found a young teenage girl who was just ordinary, who was really, her name wasn't even probably heard of, and her name wasn't known through the households of the area. But what God did, God went to the area that He chose because He had a reason and He had a purpose for that area. And then God chose Mary, a poor girl who had really no college, no schooling, no talents or gifts. But the one thing that God looked at upon Mary was God saw Mary's heart. Now I want you to know something. This little church right here, it may sit out in the country, it may sit on a hill, and it may not be known to a lot of people. Now, there's a lot of people that I talk to, and they ask me where I preach, and I tell them Bosque Del Baptist Church. And they say, yes, we know that church. It's the little white church on the hill on Bosque Del Road. I go, yes. And a lot of people say, that reminds me of a church from a Hallmark movie. It's such a beautiful church. And then there's a lot of people I go to, and they ask, where do you preach? And I say, Bosque Del Baptist Church. And they go, I've not even heard of it. And then I say, well, I want to invite you to come and be a part of a service there, because I know you will love the people that are there, because they will love you in return. So see, even though this is a little church and it's tucked away in a corner of Jackson County, it doesn't matter. God has a calling upon this church, and even though a lot of us in this church, our names are not recognized in the newspapers or on TV or whatever, or, you know, now there's a lot of people who know maybe Laura from her years of teaching. I'm sure that she's got a lot of people know her name. Of course, Life Orchards too. Because I've asked, I had somebody ask me one time, that fruit that I bought. They said, "Where'd you get that fruit?" And I said, "Life Orchards." "Oh yeah, that's the place on Old 51, just south of Carbondale. They know where it's at." So see, some people are known for what they do, and there's other people that are not known. And I'll tell you this, I don't need my name to be known by anybody. What I need people to know is the name that's above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. So God picked Mary just because of the humble person she was. And that's all God requires of you and I. God requires you and I to be humble. God requires you and I to have a heart that is pure and holy before Him. The observations that I just pointed out to you indicate that it is in God's nature to call every one of us individually, and God takes a great interest in you. That means Eugene, Corrine, everybody in here, God takes an interest in you. And there's a lot of people who would say, "Well, what is so special about me that God would want something to do with me?" Well, number one, He created you in His likeness. God also created every single one of us with a what? A purpose. God created every one of us, and it's God's hope and desire that we come to Christ through salvation, and that we surrender our lives to Him, and that we let God use us in many and mighty great ways each and every day. So He looked down upon Mary. He saw Mary's heart. And now, we don't know a whole lot about, because the Bible just doesn't give us a lot of detail about Mary's prior life, but I can guarantee you this. Mary was a person who had a loving heart. Mary was a person who was just kind of laid back, willing to do whatever God wanted her to do. And you notice in the passages that I read, Mary didn't stand there and argue with the angel Gabriel. She didn't try to bargain with him. "Well, give me this much and let's do this my way." She listened to everything that the angel said, and she was what? She was in agreement with God's calling for her life. How many of us today, right now, would be willing to be in total agreement with God's calling on our life, whatever it might be? Now, the reason for Mary's call, she was a vessel that could be used. And I believe that God was very well pleased with Mary's faith. And I've said this many times before, it takes faith to please God. Without faith, you're not going to please Him. But if you have faith, that means you trust Him. And God is looking upon every one of us to be the kind of person that says, "Lord, use me." I've told you before, I never planned to be in a pulpit. I never planned to preach. I planned on being a policeman like the rest of my family. There are generations of cops in our family. And I planned on going back to Alabama, going back home and being a state trooper and working so many years. And I didn't have a care in the world about preaching. And then I got saved. And then when I got saved, my grandfather came to me one day and said, "Son, I've been praying for you." He was the pastor. He said, "I've been praying for you, and I want to tell you something." He said, "The Lord is going to use you to preach." I said, "No, Grandpa, that ain't going to happen. I can't stand in front of people and talk. I get nervous. I'll pass out." He says, "Well, no, you're going to preach one day." Well, the Lord started calling upon me, and I fought Him. And I fought Him a long time till I was basically depressed, desperate for relief. I was in anguish and turmoil. I was unhappy, and I mean angry to the core. Finally, the only thing I could do was surrender. God saw the willing vessel, but my heart was not aligning with His calling just yet. And then finally, when I got on my face and said, "Lord, if that's what You want me to do, then You are going to have to make it happen, because I'm afraid to talk in front of people. And I don't know what to say in the pulpit. I'm shy." I was shy. Can you imagine me being shy? I was an introvert. I only had maybe 3 or 4 good close friends. And they're the only ones that I ever interacted with in school. I didn't like people. And then when I finally lined up my heart, my life with God's will, "Okay, Lord, here I am. You're calling me to preach, so here I am. You take care of it." And an hour later, Reverend David Hancock calls me and says, in a strained voice, "I'm sick and I can't preach tomorrow. I can't even teach my Sunday school class. Will you come to Indian Camp Baptist Church tomorrow and preach for me?" And you tell me that's not God. I got something different to tell you. That was God all the way. And I showed up the next Sunday morning scared to death, but God took care of me. And I taught that Sunday school class. And 36 years later, is that right? Yeah, 36 years, I'm still standing behind a pulpit preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ. God had chosen Mary to carry out the noblest task that other girls in her time could only dream of. She was going to give birth to the Savior. Now that's better than being well known of the country club ladies there. Hey, some ladies want to be the pinnacle of the country club, or they want to be the highlight of their girl society. Mary was the top gal of her time right then, because she was going to give birth to Jesus Christ. She had been chosen. Now, I want you to focus for just a moment. I want you to look at your life right now. And I want you to say to yourself, "God created me. I am a possibility. And God can do all things with me through Christ Jesus, my Lord. And there is no mountain too high, and there's no valley too low that I can't get over with His help." So, you imagine Mary. The angel appears to her, tells her all this stuff, that she's going to carry the Christ child, and she says, "Well, how's this going to be? How's it going to happen? Because I don't even know a man." But what she's saying, "I've never been with a man." See, she was a virgin. Pure and holy she was. And now that was one question she had. How's this going to happen? Well, then the angel said to her that the Holy Spirit, the Lord is going to overshadow you, and He will be what? He said, He'll be with you. He'll be with you through it all. So, Jesus was put into Mary's womb, conceived, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that is one of the greatest heavenly encounters right there. I want you to know, and I guarantee you this, I guarantee you that Mary did not have a big head or an attitude over what God was doing with her either. She remained humble and lowly and holy. Still obedient. And can you imagine Mary's walking around pregnant, carrying baby Jesus in her womb? Wow. Ladies, What would have been like for you if God came to you and said, if you were living back in that time, what would your reaction be? Well, you know, now there might be a lot of ladies, might be, you know, a little scared, a little panicked. Some might be overjoyed. Some may be in a little bit of bewilderment. I'm sure that Mary had a lot of rush of emotions at that time to know that God had chosen her out of many other women. See, God is pleased with us when we surrender ourselves and accept Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord, because God has a noble task for us to carry out. See, I want to say this. Mary carried a physical Jesus in her body for 9 months till she gave birth to Him. I want you to know something right now. God called every single one of us. And you know what God called us for? Because He wanted us to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I want you to know this. The moment you got saved and you invited Jesus Christ to come live with inside of you, He's within you. Did you know that? So Mary carried a physical baby, Jesus. But the great thing is you and I have the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, living in our hearts and living in our lives. And He is working within us day after day so that His will can be carried out through each and every one of us. And that, my friends, is the greatest blessing we could ever receive. And lastly, Mary's response to God's call. Now, Mary couldn't understand the angel's words, what he was saying to her. And after the explanation that the angel gave her, I don't know that she really fully understood. And there's a lot of times that God will call us to do something and we may not understand what that task is or what that assignment may be. And when we don't understand, there's the great thing that we have called prayer. That we can get on our knees or bow on our faces before God and we can ask God, say, Father, I know You're wanting me to do something. You've revealed it to me. And I'm not going to doubt it, but God, I need You to give me wisdom and understanding and knowledge of the things that are before me. See, because like I said, I didn't know how to preach. I was always amazed that my grandfather could stand in the pulpit and preach for 25 to 30 minutes and then give the altar call. And every week it was a different sermon. I never could understand. I couldn't get that through this hillbilly mind of mine. But when I asked God to help me with this new call upon my life, He started to straighten out every crooked place that was before me, and God overshadowed my heart and my mind. And daily, as I've surrendered my life to Him, then the Lord's been able to take me and use me, and I've seen God do the most incredible things in my 36 years of ministry that I never even thought was possible, because God is that good. But nevertheless, Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me as you say. How many of you, and how many, well, not how many of me, but myself, how many of us are willing to say to God's will, to God's calling, whatever it is, Lord, let it be. Whatever it is. If God brings you to it, God's going to get you through it. I love that. I saw that at Kirkland's in Carbondale years ago. This big old picture thing hanging up there on a wall. And I knew of a church that was wanting to do God's will. And we bought that for that church, and it's hanging on their wall in their sanctuary. I hope it's still hanging up there. But Mary said, let it happen. Boy, you talk about humble obedience. That's good stuff right there. She's saying, let me carry Jesus. I'll do it. And whatever happens day in and day out, Lord, I know you'll provide. And I know that you'll be with me and you'll strengthen me. When I'm weak, you'll strengthen me. And when there's times of darkness in my life, you'll be my light. And when I don't know what direction to go, you will guide me. Now that's the greatest thing, and that's what God's wanting out of every single one of us. Now, when I talked to Effie this morning about her procedure, she said to me, she's fine with it. She ain't worried about it. I found that to be the most awesome thing to hear. And I want to say this too. My good buddy Justin Settle, who was a dentist, found out he had cancer in the stomach. You know what he said to God? Let it be. He said, either way this turns out, I've got the victory. That's what he told God. And then he called his mom and dad and said, Mom and Dad, I've got stomach cancer. It's aggressive. It's advanced. And I want you to know that either way, I don't want you to be mad at God, because he says we're not mad at him. He says, but either way, I want you to thank God, because either God can heal me and I'll be on this earth for a lot longer, or if he's ready for me, I'll go to heaven, and either way, it's a win-win. I thought, wow, let it be, he said. And Mary said, let it be as you say. We cannot fully fathom God's works with our limited minds. And this is what I want to point out. Really, I thank God for our teachers. Now, yesterday, my granddaughter graduated from SIU with a bachelor's degree in education. And God bless her heart, she's teaching middle-aged school kids at Ziegler Royalton School. And my niece graduated from Murray State University with a bachelor's degree in education. And she's starting a job in January with Fancy Farm Elementary School in Mayfield, Kentucky. And I thank God for our teachers. And I say that because they taught us. I'm sure many of you remember all the teachers you had in your life. And we got teachers today teaching our kids, and they're teaching them things that they need to know to prepare them for life. Well, we have a great teacher. And our teacher, the mighty teacher, he's showing us things every day. Now, what we learn in school, our minds can comprehend. We get it, don't we? Sometimes the teacher might have to explain it to me 3 or 4 times, but then I'd get it. You know, she'd have to undo another knot in my brain cells. But once I got it, I got it. And now that I'm older and a little slower, it still takes me a little time. But the things of God our minds can't fathom. But here's the good part. We can go to God and we can ask Him to reveal His plan, and we can ask God to reveal His ways unto us, and He'll do it. He will give us the understanding. When we're confused, His Holy Spirit comes upon us and there is no confusion. When His perfect love touches our heart, we should be at a perfect standstill and walking in an abundance of peace. The things of God are great and mighty, and I'm thankful for my teacher. He teaches me all the great things every day, and I want to obey Him sincerely. I do. I want to obey the Lord in every way. I know that my name will never be Billy Graham, and my name won't be Rex Humbard, and my name won't be Dr. E.V. Hill. I will never have in front of my name Dr., Reverend, Bishop, and then whatever my name. I'll never have all that. But I tell you what I do have. I've got a humble and an obedient heart that I'm willing to say, Lord, whatever Your call is on my life, I'll do it. Just like Mary, will you be willing to say, God, here I am. Take me and use me. I'm all Yours. Take Your servant and let it be.